Good morning, I'm Marilyn Smith. This is All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City, celebrating local chefs and the innovative cuisine of Central Ohio. A Taste of Dine Original celebrates the food and drink of Central Ohio. The premier dining event is once again going to be located at Capital University's Fieldhouse in Bexley. The annual event features samples of food and drink from regional restaurants, vineyards, breweries, and distilleries. Joining us this morning is the event coordinator, Catherine Moore, and German Village's Kevin Kasky. He's chef owner of Skillet, located on Whittier Avenue, along with restaurant reviewer Rich Terapak. And I guess you're technically not quite in German Village, right, Kevin?
That's correct. We're just on the outskirts. Proximity would be more Schumacher Place, but we're definitely in the general neighborhood.
Well, let's get to the main event. Catherine, what's going on this year?
Well, we're back at Capitol, which has worked so well for us, so plenty of parking and valet and all of that, but just a huge lineup of wonderful menu items. I think Kevin can speak in more detail than I can. The event runs from 6 to 9 p.m., so a guest comes in, gets a glass and a plate, and starts to meander through.
It's grazing
for gourmets. It is
in a double gymnasium. It's huge.
Yeah, it's a huge space, so yeah. That's just been terrific for us. So all 45 members do a signature item, you know, something that really shows off what they do, and you stop and bite and chat. One of the things that makes us a standout is the chef owners are there. This is a time to talk and learn more about where they're getting their ingredients. It's a time to talk about events you'd like to plan. So we really see that people are drawn to the opportunity to have conversation around the food.
Now, in addition to food samples, of course, there will be drink. There will be wine.
There are adult beverages. There's wine, and then we have, you know, such a terrifically strong and new, when you think back 6-7 years ago, the distilleries were not on the scene, but we have both Watershed and, say it for me, I'm blanking, sorry.
Ohio,
yes. Yeah. Then three of our members have breweries. So we have The Elevator and Columbus Brewing, and Bodega has a partnership with Seven Suns. So there's beer to taste, there's wine,
Perfect.
And the wine is Great. From 30 vineyards. So it's an astounding collection.
Now, you don't normally have anything as the executive director of Dine Originals, you don't necessarily have anything to do with the wineries or the distilleries.
Only that they are, the way that we come up with who we invite for this, they are people who supply our restaurants. So they're people that our members have relationships with, and they come back every year. They kind of line up in a queue, want to be there. And I remember the first time I went to the event 6 years ago, so I said, $100 for that ticket? And they said, understand this, you can drink $100 worth of wine the first 30 minutes you're there, because they really do bring the good stuff.
Yeah,
so,
they do.
There's some remarkable pours every year that we've seen.
Well, and it's nice, particularly among the distilleries, that they're all owner-operated as well. But it's sort of the same theme as Dine Originals, that you know these restaurants are run by people who love them because they own them. and they're doing, you know, it's good to have Midwest Spirits and the rest of the gang in town, because it's created a little competition among them, too. So it's fun.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, how long have you been participating in this event?
Going back now, probably this will be, I believe this is our fifth event as a member for Skillet Rustic Urban Food.
And what will you be bringing to the party?
I probably won't know until about 3 or 4 days out.
Oh, because... Marilyn, you ask a good question.
Because we're so seasonally driven and we work with a wide variety of producers within the Central Ohio area, I usually... don't even start thinking about what we're going to take until, again, about 2 or 3 days out. Sometimes that causes problems, but we adapt pretty well inside the restaurant. Our menu is based upon the same type of, I guess, non-frequency as far as the postings or the offerings are concerned. It changes almost on a daily basis.
So it's spontaneous.
Pretty much. It's pretty
creative.
Much off the cuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty much off the cuff.
Very creative.
And what does that elicit from you, Catherine? You're trying to coordinate all this, and you have all these people.
Well, the great thing is we're trying to publish the program. So my push is to herd my cats and get menus in time to do a program. And there are three or four members, Kevin Caskey, one of them, Black Creek Bistro is another, where they truly are in the marketplace the day before, right, seeing what's available and what inspires them. And our patrons certainly would rather experience that than have them give something a month in advance. Most of our members choose something from their menu that showcases the strength of the restaurant. So for the most part, we know them in advance. But there are those few that come in the day before.
Well, you got to pick those morels fresh, you know.
That's true. Sometimes they're there and sometimes they're not.
There was something in the Times yesterday about gardens being so late as to limiting spring menus. Have you experienced that? Or is the group experiencing it? You know, like the asparagus wasn't ready in Boston. I think that was the way the article read.
We're seeing some similarities here with everything just being anywhere from 2 weeks to 10 days or so behind where we normally saw it making its presence in the markets compared to last year. We're starting to see some things seasonally right now, but we can always go to wild or locally foraged wild seasonal things.
You mentioned morels. Which I love.
We haven't seen any locally foraged asparagus as of yet. Mm-hmm. It's coming soon. Rhubarb's pretty much readily available at this point right now. Good. We're starting to see some English pea varieties and things of that nature. But we're just on the threshold.
A couple of days in the 70s helps, yeah.
Yes.
So, Kevin, what's the importance of this event to you and to your restaurant?
For me, as a restaurateur and a chef, two things, ideally, I guess you could say, because we're so involved personally in our own businesses with the day-to-day activities, some of them mundane, some of them could be challenging. It's a chance for all of us to come together as a group or membership with a common goal. And then ideally, looking beyond that, because we're in an industry that essentially is driven by making a profit on food, and we do have so much need in the Central Ohio area, whether that be for food or for services, it allows us to really reach back into the community and give back to where we have done well for ourselves as a business, as a restaurant, and personally the rewards that we have for running our businesses. It gives us a chance to give back to the community.
That's terrific.
And Catherine, you've talked before about the importance of supporting local restaurants.
Oh, it's just such a huge piece, not only of our economy, and it is a huge piece of our economy, but of our culture and our identity as a city. We always laugh that nobody comes to visit Columbus, Ohio, and goes home and says, oh, I had the greatest meal at an Applebee's or, you know, any of the chains. That's just not something you'd ever go home and say.
Right.
But if you have stayed in the Short North and discovered something there, that can be something that stays with you about Columbus, Ohio forevermore. It's something that makes you bring your spouse with you the next time you're in Columbus on business because you know you can have a lovely time. So we think that if we're not mindful, it's easy for me to imagine when you think about the local bookstore that's just pretty much disappeared. Mm-hmm. We're very grateful for the Book Loft, but other than that, the chains have done away with it. And the same with the local hardware store. You remember when you used to have one in every neighborhood, and now the big box stores have erased that from our footprint. So I think we want to be mindful and say we're never going to let that happen to independent restaurants.
And of course, there is economically a ripple effect.
Oh, it's amazing. So here's how the story builds up. It's that if you spend your dollar in a locally owned restaurant, that restaurant in turn buys their signage in Columbus, Ohio. Their attorney is in Columbus, Ohio. Their menus are printed in Columbus, Ohio. Where if you're with a chain, that stuff is all done in California or Wisconsin. So those dollars do not stay in the local economy. They go right out. And the difference is I want to say it's 23 cents stays. I'm not sure I have this number right, but 23 cents stays in the local economy for every dollar spent in a chain restaurant, and 88 cents when you dine with a local. So we all have our different budgets for spending money at restaurants and dining out and entertaining. And whatever that price point is for you, you should think about, okay, when I'm going to spend this, am I going to keep it in Columbus? Yeah.
And what do you do, Kevin, to keep your price point reasonable so that you are more attractive financially for somebody who might choose a chain?
Again, because of being able to move very, very quickly on what is available and seasonal on a local basis, we're allowed or able to not have to, input additional cost into the plate cost of the retail menu item or retail menu price for transportation. Things of that nature for getting those items to us. And because our menu changes so frequently, we're able to take advantage of things that are at a lower cost to us, are available on a local basis that we can move on very quickly.
You don't bring a lot in from Chile.
Correct.
And seasonal pricing, say on things like asparagus, when it's plentiful, is probably less than on some other
as opposed to buying it from a commodity produce provider with a flat price that is usually much higher so they can maintain current inventories across the board.
And so if that item appears on a chain menu and they have to be able to deliver 365 days a year, they're getting it from out of town and at a higher price.
Exactly correct. Yeah.
So
with a greater carbon footprint as well.
Absolutely.
As alluring as these frequent menu changes might be, and of course everything's fresh, how do you keep people coming back who say, "Oh, I love the hamburger"?
There are some staples. For instance, we do have a hamburger. It might be just change in the way that it's plated or presented, but there will be a hamburger. There are some things that make seasonal returns on a year-to-year basis. In the spring, you may see something featuring duck eggs and morels and fresh English peas and pickled ramps, for instance, will make an appearance for several weeks each spring. Likewise, items for the fall may make a return. But there's enough, I think, incentive there for those folks that do frequent us that if they do have a favorite, at one point we'll rotate back through the menu again.
The sweet rolls. They've come and gone and come and gone.
That's correct. That's correct. They're more of a constant now than an inconsistency.
Well, there was almost a revolution about it.
When they disappeared, that's true. There was almost a mutiny.
So, Catherine, this is obviously a huge event and a huge undertaking. How many people does it take to put on this show?
Oh, we have a committee that meets year-round. It is a big commitment. United Healthcare is one of our presenting sponsors, and they bring an army of volunteers, and they've really mastered organizing those volunteers and doing the outreach. We are at about 260, I think, volunteers throughout the whole process. So we get the restaurant set up. We put green balloons at every station that's offering a vegetarian offer. We have a band to set up. We have ice to schlep in. There's a lot of detail behind it for sure. But one of the things that I think strengthens the event is that we share the benefits with the Buckeye Ranch. And people have such a deep appreciation for the work they do in our community and rally when you put out the word that this is for Buckeye Ranch. So we've never had a shortage of volunteer muscle.
And even with all those volunteers, it's really accessible now. I mean, the parking is much easier than other locations.
And there is valet parking.
There is valet parking, and it's free. It was a challenge for us. We ran out of room in three different spaces in 3 years.
Right.
And, you know, that's never great for an event to move it around. And you know, where is that this year?
Yeah.
But Capital University has ended up being just a perfect spot.
And you're between students. The students are gone. Finals are over.
And quickly, where can people get tickets?
They can get them online at BuckeyeRanch.org, or they can stop into our member restaurants.
Thank you both very much. Joining us this morning, event coordinator Catherine Moore and Kevin Caskey. He's the chef owner of Skillet at 410 East Whittier Avenue. Of course, we've been talking about A Taste of Dine Originals to take place May 15th at the Capital University Fieldhouse. We'll be right back. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. I'm Marilyn Smith. We are joined by Steve Stover this morning, along with Rich Terapak Jr., which is not formal by any means, and his dad, Rich Terapak.
Who is formal, by
and is older.
And we've been talking about a taste of Dine Originals. Steve, you've probably been to this event many times.
Yes, as with Rich.
I think I've been to most of them as well. Yeah.
So what do you think the importance is of A Taste of Dine Originals to the community?
To me, it's an opportunity to showcase the Columbus's best locally owned restaurants, give people an opportunity. Where else can you go and try 48 restaurants and have a little taste of their cuisine, meet the chef in person, and have a glass of wine? It's one of my favorite nights of the year, believe it or not. It's just too much fun.
I think the unique thing about it is I think that the chefs themselves really get geared up for this event. I think that for them it's not a contest, so to speak, but it's
a competition.
Not a competition in any way, but it's really them amongst their peers, the locally owned.
They still have to make a good show.
Place, yeah, but I just, I've been to several of the other events, which are, there's many good qualities to them, but this one they really seem to bring their A game. And I think that's what makes it special and different than the other events.
I agree. Yep. I think I think you're right. It's not a competition. It's almost sort of a club for them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And they get to celebrate the fact that they're doing well, and versus the common enemy, which is most of the chain restaurants. And so they do bring their A game, and they really do want to pay back to the community, as Kevin mentioned earlier. It also gives the community a great opportunity, particularly those people who are party planners, to get out there and see what's available in catering and other things.
And while it's not a competition, it is competitive because they want to bring their best game because they know all their pals are going to be coming around and tasting their stuff. So they want to – everything is good. All the food is really good.
And the crowd as well. I mean, they know that this amongst the foodies in town, the people that really patronize their restaurants, most of them attend this event as opposed to – any of the others.
And it's great having the opportunity to talk to the chef. It's
absolutely very accessible.
Yeah.
Well, and it certainly is a great way to sample a restaurant's fare where you might not go if it's on the other side of town. It's just not an area that you frequent. This is a great way to have a taste.
It's driven me to several restaurants that we tried there aren't very many we haven't been to, but there's usually one or two that I haven't been to, and that's I usually make it a point to try them out. And
I'm going to focus on the Bethel Road restaurants, actually.
I think you're absolutely right, Marilyn. I mean, since we've had young children, we don't get out to eat nearly as much as we used to, and this is a great way for me.
To
sample places that I don't have time to drive 45 minutes and get a babysitter to go do.
At the cost of babysitters these days.
even their parents are expensive. Yeah. That's right.
No, the price is right.
Steve, you've been writing a lot for our blog, Chefs in the City at WOSU.org, and we're celebrating something of a milestone there as well.
Oh, yes. This month I don't know if the guys know this, but we finished a year of the blog, and I think there are well over 40 different blogs. Some of them have timed out, but we've gotten 9 blogs on, I think, in the last 6 weeks. So there's a lot of really new stuff.
A lot of new stuff.
La Tavola in Grandview, Bear Burger, Jerry's Galaxy Cafe, Hudson 29 are all up with photos and reviews. So it's www.wosu.org/chefsinthecity.
Isn't that fun to say?
Not as much fun as Rishi Sushi, which I tried last week, and I owe a blog
for. Oh, you owe, okay.
Yeah, it's the Mishi Sushi. I can't say that on the radio.
Moshi Sushi out of Bexley. Same ownership.
Rishi Sushi's a brother of Moshi Sushi.
And it's the same good quality.
What's the name of the restaurant?
That really is it.
Rishi.
R-I-S-H-I.
Okay.
Yeah,
so.
And it's on...
I was confused with Moshi.
104 North 3rd, I believe is the address. It's downtown, and it's a beautiful setting. For one thing, it's got the great clean lines and things.
I know where it is.
Asian
bar. It's just a block north of, it's right at the corner of Gay and
No, it's a
third.
It's a, another block up.
Long.
It's on the next corner. Yeah, and they have you know, they have lots of sushi. They've got lots of noodle dishes. They've got some you know, standard American dishes. You can still get a burger or a chicken salad. It's really quite good. So I owe that one.
Yeah, I've yet to get down there, but I know that Moshi, which is the chef from Moshi, and has gotten extremely popular on the east side of Columbus. They do great stuff. They have a terrific deal on a bento box at lunch for $10.99. I'm not sure if they have something like that at Rishi, but great place to grab lunch.
Yeah. So.
This is All Sides Weekend. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're here talking with our restaurant critics, Rich Terapak, his son Rich, and Steve Stover. You can call us at 292-8513 with any questions or ideas that you might have about restaurants in the area. Steve, you mentioned La Tavola, which recently opened in Grandview after what seemed like an eternity.
It did. It seemed like an eternity to Ricky, too. So
this is Ricky Lopez.
It's from Rick and Krista Lopez, a young couple that we've known, I guess, for, I don't know, 20 years almost.
Well, now this is the third or fourth location
yes,
of this restaurant.
Yeah. They started the La Tavola up by the Powder Room in Powell. And then they had the really fabulous setting on Riverside Drive just south of 161, which closed. And then they opened Need, K-N-E-A-D. And then they kept Need, although it closed recently. They're going to move it someplace because of the rent. They're planning to reopen it. And now comes La
Tavola.
And
access to parking, I hope.
That's right.
It was tough.
It was, but it's on First Avenue
across
from the Grandview Library. Yeah. It's a really cute place. It's got tile floors, and the tables are made from wood that was saved to be green from houses on the west side that were Franklinton that were torn down, and they saved the lumber and made booths and tables. There are several large tables, the name of the restaurant being La Tavola. And when we were there, I was stalking them, trying to get them open. In fact, I walked in one day, and his little daughter, who's eight, was baking pasta back in the kitchen. This isn't child labor. She was having a fun time. But.
She was playing.
And so we were there like 2 days after it opened. And it was so cool because it was very neighborhood, lots of families, the kids who maybe have been the playmates because Rick and Krista live in Grandview. And then the food, of course, was classic Ricky Lopez Italian, house-made pastas, some house-made charcuterie. I can't remember. Let's see. Mary had a risotto primavera with fresh fava beans, fresh peas, prosciutto, parmesan, and taleggio cheese. Oh, and I had saltimbocca, but with a twist. It was made with large pork. I got the small portion, and it was two large pork medallions, almost pork chop size, with sage and fontina and prosciutto and Marsala wine sauce, and it was terrific. So they don't take reservations, and their wine license is on the ballot next Tuesday.
So get out and vote.
So get out and vote early and often.
All you folks in Grandview.
They do have beer, and I enjoyed a beer there. But get there before it's discovered for large portions of well-done cuisine.
Yeah. And, of course, it's a terrific location in that it's really in a neighborhood.
Right.
Right.
But the Grandview Library has an extensive children's library. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, people are walking in there with their children, continuously. And it's a great family restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the kids sat on the counter. There's an open kitchen. And when we were there, the daughter and some of her little friends were sitting on the counter chatting, eating little pastas and watching Dad cook. It was really cool.
Kind of like at your house, Rich.
Yeah, right. Watching Daddy cook.
My three-year-old loves to.
You have some news, Rich, about a new restaurant that's opening.
Yeah, I just learned this morning. Great news for the University District, just north of campus. Three of the chefs who, via Bossy and Latitude 41, have reopened the spot where Sage used to be on North High Street. It's called Angry Bear Kitchen. That's going to be regional American cuisine. They're going to be open evenings only, Tuesday through Saturday, and then Sunday for brunch only, so closed Monday. And they're opening today. It's at 2653 North High. The space looks, from the pictures I saw, just about like Sage, which was a terrific looking restaurant, you know, exposed brick, original artwork. So I'm really looking forward to getting in there. And like I said, they're opening tonight, so check them out.
So have you been able to preview the menu?
I saw a couple things. They'll have some small plates, including poutine with beef tongue, cheese curds. And then they also have, you know, handmade fettuccine, vegetable carbonara, braised pork shank. So it seems like right about the same level and type of cuisine that Sage was promoting up there. And Sage was a really popular restaurant up there, so I think the neighborhood's going to really benefit.
Yeah, the only reason I think Chef Glover closed is because he took over the Hilton downtown. And just
He's probably stretched a little thin.
A little thin, yeah.
So, no, I think it's wonderful news for that neighborhood.
Yeah, terrific.
Well, this is a fairly small space, and we're going to have three chefs.
That's what I understand. So I guess...
They won't be stretched thin.
That'll be interesting, yeah.
2928513, and we're joined this morning by Assad. Good morning, Assad.
Good morning, good morning. You know, I was spent some time out in New Jersey, the Newark and Roselle area, and had a nice little pizza place we used to go to out there. And it was the first time I had eggplant Parmesan sandwich.
Sandwich, huh?
Yes, and so I've been searching here in Columbus. I found a place called Cafe Bela up on campus on High Street, but I can't find anywhere else. I'm looking for an eggplant Parmesan sandwich and just trying to find something that can match what I found out in Roselle. So I figured I'd ask you guys to see if you...
Maybe you could find a needle in a haystack.
That's a tough one. If you can find a, you know, a vegetarian restaurant would be probably the place to look.
What about Cafe Kabul just down the street?
Yeah, it could be. The Afghani place down the street? Yeah. It's on Old Ntanji River Road and what's the cross?
Road? Ackerman.
Ackerman, yeah.
It's been a rough one for me. So
you might have to make it.
Yeah, that's what I said. Cafe Bella does it, this little cafe up there.
Sure.
But not, you know, I'm working with him to try to get it to kind of what it was like up there in Jersey, but I just haven't been able to find it. I thought I'd ask you.
It's tough when you find that perfect dish
in
another town.
You can still taste it.
You try to recreate it at home, but yeah.
Another option might be to find pizza that you can get somebody to do that, like Harvest Pizzeria. They do a lot of creative pizzas, and maybe late summer or fall might be a good time to try that.
Try it out. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for your call this morning, 292-8513. You can also email us at WOSU.org. And Jerry is joining us. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Ms. Smith and guests. Thank you for taking my call. One of the best steaks I've had in Central Ohio, Local Roots in Powell. And that's locally owned and called Local Roots because all the food is grown and prepared in that area. And the other one is 101 Beer Restaurant. And they change their menu often, I've noticed. And last Friday night, we were in there, and they had seared wild salmon. So I said to the waitress, I love salmon. That adjective wild gets me. I want to know where it came from. She came back, she says, from the Faroe Islands in Scotland. Mm-hmm. I said, bring it on. And I don't know if one of maybe you gentlemen can tell me how 101 Beer Restaurant got its name, and is it locally owned or not?
I don't know if it's locally owned.
I think it is.
But I've always assumed that they had 101 beers. But
I think it was a local restaurant. This is, you know, a local restaurateur who decided to go into it. But Faroe Island salmon is, I think it's from Nova Scotia, or it's a farm-raised, but excellent. It's they have it at the North Market. They have it at Hills. They have, if you want to cook your own, that's a good source, and that's one of my favorite salmon for grilling and cooking with.
Incidentally, my favorite libation for over 60 years has been an old fashioned, and they made the best old fashioned I've ever had. And I even made the point of going back and commending the bartender.
Which one? Local roots or?
Sam. No, I'm sorry.
101?
101 okay. Beer restaurant.
And, local roots, didn't they celebrate an anniversary or something recently?
That
they've,
I don't know.
They've been around for a while now,
four or five years. Yeah, they were one of the first spots up there in Powell, in an area that's now becoming a little more popular for restaurants.
A lot of local sourcing. Local sourcing.
By the way, fellas, in 3 days, it's going to be Cinco de Mayo. Where's the best Mexican restaurant to go?
We may have a fight on that.
I think. Well, I'm still fond of a little place called Cuco's up on Henderson.
Bingo.
Actually, that's
John Christensen agrees, by the way.
It's unanimous.
It's unanimous. Cuco's Taqueria on Henderson Road, right across the street from the original City Barbecue. Juan is the owner. So
west of Reed on Henderson.
Mm-hmm. Durker.
Now, Toledo's is reopened, but I haven't been there yet.
Oh, yeah. It's Tex-Mex. Toledo's reopened in on North High Street, just north of Doddridge on the other side of the street, making it sort of a little enclave for foodies. There's Toledo's for Tex-Mex food. There's Lucky's Market, which I've been really enjoying their produce. And then across the street in Caddy Corner is the new Harvest Bar Plus Kitchen from the Harvest Pizzeria and Sycamore family. And so that's a great little area for eating and shopping. But our vote, I think, is Cuco's.
Cuco's, yeah. The anniversary for Local Roots is 5 years. It says thank you for the first 5 delicious years in Edible Columbus this month.
292-8513. And Kevin is on the line. We're going to try and catch him because he's got an answer to the eggplant sandwich query. So go ahead, Kevin.
Hi, it's Kevin. The an eggplant sub is kind of a hardware item on pizza places throughout the tri-state area of New York Metro, along with sausage and pepper subs with cheese, meatball, veal. In southern Connecticut, they're known as wedges, not subs. Mm-hmm. But it's all over that region. It's part of a standard Italian pizza restaurant menu.
So you're going to send Assad back to New Jersey.
You haven't found it here, I take it.
I haven't really looked for it here. But
well, get to work.
I frequently travel to that area, so I get my fix there.
We'll have to get the
That brings me to the question I have for the panel is, after living in the D.C. area for 30 years before moving to Ohio, I'm flabbergasted at the lack of quality Chinese and Taiwanese restaurants like Hong Kong dim sum and true Chinese cooking. And I was wondering if the panel had any recommendations on that, and I will go take that off the air.
Okay, and we are going to take a quick break here, and then we'll let the panel respond. This is All Sides Weekend, Chefs in the City, and we're all busy talking here. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking with food critics Rich Tarapak, his son Rich, and Steve Stover. We were going to get to this question about Chinese food.
I agree. I used to live in San Francisco, and coming back to Ohio, I grew up here. It's a little disappointing, but there are a few hidden gems. One of my favorites is Sun Tong Luk up in the Bethel Center, which is near Bethel and Sawmill, up on the north end of town. Another one, Moy's.
And they do have dim sum there.
And they do have dim sum. And then Moy's on campus, I think it's M-O-I. M-O-Y, pardon me, is another good one. You'll see a lot of the Chinese nationals from the Ohio State University eating over there, which is always a good sign. You guys?
Spring of China on Reed Road is very authentic, but you got to get the right menu. The last time I was there, they had a menu for civilians, and then they had another menu for people who knew Chinese food. So that might be an inspiring one. And then the Fortune on Olentangy, as far as I know, still has dim sum on weekends.
Does that help?
Well, Kevin has left us, but those are some good, solid suggestions. We do have a call now from Mildred, who is looking for sauerkraut balls. Good morning, Mildred.
Good morning. I had occasion to visit London, Ohio, as a recommendation when I was in that neck of the woods. I've always hated sauerkraut. Mother got it out of a can when I was a kid, and I never liked it. But I was with a group, and that place was recommended, and I ended up loving sauerkraut balls. I ate 9.
Oh my goodness!
There was a bunch.
Yeah, I think you do.
What was the name of the place?
I don't remember. I had no intention of
eating
sauerkraut.
She was on a sauerkraut high.
Now you're teasing us.
But the guy next to me ordered 3, being a good fellow. He whispered to his wife, "I don't like sauerkraut." And because it had been recommended, 3 of the people in the group got platters and passed them around the table. Mm-hmm. So this guy was a good kid, and he got 3. I thought, okay, I can play this game. I put 3 on my plate. And I liked it so well, the next time the platter came around, I had 3 more. And then I reached for the platter and got 3 more.
And ran for the gastroenterologist. They are terrific, and I can remember, those things have been around for ages. There was a bar downtown called the Pewter Mug that served them when we were kids. There's a place in German Village, or just outside of German Village, very close to Skillet, almost across the street from Skillet.
Almost next door to Barcelona.
Yeah, that has them. It's an old German Village bar called Hey Hey.
H-E-Y-H-E-Y?
Yeah. Yep.
And if you can get in, the Germania House has a pretty good sauerkraut ball.
Well, the other place I remember them being on the menu is Barley's, which is just kind of across from the convention center.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And it might be on the old Mohawk.
Barley's. I'm writing as fast as I can.
I'm not sure about the old Mohawk, though, but
call ahead on the old
feeling.
Mohawk.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that's enough to get you started.
Oh, hey, I gotta find out about that.
Well, maybe a little field trip to London, Ohio.
Well, we need a report back. We are on later on in the month, so you have to check in.
Thanks a bunch.
Thank you very much for your call this morning. 292-8513, or you can email us at wosu.org. An email from Sharon. She says that they're new to the area and looking for a good vegetarian buffet.
I'd probably try an Indian restaurant.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Try Ab Indian, which is in Grandview, on Grandview Avenue,
right.
And First, I believe.
Third.
Third, okay, yeah. Excuse me.
And
that's AAB, Ab Indian. They have, it's not entirely vegetarian, if you're, crazy about it, that you don't want any meat in the kitchen, but they do have many good vegetarian dishes in the buffet.
And there are a series of all vegetarian Indian. There's, and I'm blanking on the name. There's one at Old Henderson and Kenny, and then there's another series of South Indian
Banana
places.
Maybe?
Banana Leaf might, yeah, that's on Bethel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Banana Leaf might be, and then there's the Indian place, as I said, at Kenny and Old Henderson, and then there's another one that's South Indian. Maybe somebody can call in on 161 that's been there forever, that they're entirely vegetarian. So they're there. We just can't get the names right now.
Is it Udupi?
And unfortunately—
Udupi. Udupi. That's
Udupi.
Good,
yeah.
Rich.
Good call, Dad. And then, yeah, unfortunately, it's not one of the vegetarian restaurants are not one of the strong suits of Columbus, Ohio.
A bunch of carnivores.
But if you look hard, you can find something.
Speaking of finding something, Katzinger's is just due to open in Little Deli in the North Market sometime this spring.
Oh, you don't know yet.
And
in the North Market.
It's in the North Market.
No, I know, but where in the—
it's
across
the,
from Omega.
It's in the southeast corner.
Okay. Southeast.
Well,
okay.
Women use other directional markers in the southeast corner. But I thought that was going to take place in April. None of you know?
I was in there last weekend. They're still working on it. So.
Oh, they do? The space is carved out?
The space is carved out. It's the old pretzel place.
Yeah, okay. That'll
be a great
addition.
Oh, it's in the pretzel spot? Okay.
My directions, by the way, are all involved in proximity to restaurants.
292-8513, and Jim has called us, and he has wants to weigh in on the vegetarian buffet.
Great.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Hey, guys, it's Jim Ellison. How you doing?
Good. Oh,
hey. Hi,
good
Jim.
Hey, I had a comment on the sauerkraut balls. I think you hit it on the nose. But Barley Smokehouse is rebranding as Smokehouse Brewing now, and they call their sauerkraut balls Mildred sauerkraut balls, which I thought was—
Well, Mildred will be very glad to hear that.
Right. I mean, that's a perfect tie-in for her.
The guy had dinner with her in London.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so now in her honor, that's what Smokehouse has on their menu.
So they heard about her at Burley's.
Yeah, they must have pre-foreshadowing or something. So
everybody knows about Mildred.
Right. And they're launching that menu next week, so it's perfect tie-in for her. Hound Dog's Pizza does a great sauerkraut pizza as well. That could be, you know, now that she's all sauerkraut obsessed, that could be the next spot for her. But yeah,
what kind of sauce?
They do. It's their sweet sauce, and they usually pair it up with Cajun links. It's like spicy sausage with sauerkraut.
Yeah.
And the way it cooks out, it's a perfect flavor. And you know, we have guests that go there on occasion, and I trick them into having sauerkraut, and they usually like it at the end.
And what about the vegetarian buffet?
Definitely Udipi. I think that's the best in town. So
Udipi.
Suggestion. And also, if people don't mind driving a little bit, a place called Purple Chopsticks in Athens does a phenomenal Sunday brunch that's all vegetarian.
Oh, that's good to know.
Well, thank you very much for your call today.
See you at Taste of Dine Originals, Jim.
Probably.
2928513, and Jillian is joining us this morning. Hi.
Hi. My husband and I have been looking for a good Thai restaurant. Any suggestions?
I have a couple.
Okay.
Thai Taste is our traditional one, but the son of the family that owns, and Thai Taste is considered one of the most authentic, one of the members of the Supreme Court who grew up in Thailand picks Thai Taste as her favorite, but their son, Bert, opened a place called Papaya Street Grill up on 161.
Very good.
A little more upscale, a little more creative. It's got a bar, and so that's, depending upon where you live, that's absolutely worth a try. What else?
Man, I had done a review on our blog of that. I'm not sure if it's still up. It was probably about a year ago. Is it still up there? So, yeah, you can check that out on the website for Papaya Street. On the east side of town, if you're over that way, there's a place that's been there for almost 30 years called Bangkok on Refugee Road that's pretty authentic. My wife is half Thai, and she really likes it. And, yeah. So do we.
And there's Chai Thai, which we've had some good
meals. Yeah, that's more of a fusion between Chinese and Thai. It's
way
very,
up on Hamilton.
Very good.
Yeah,
it's on
61.
North Hamilton, kind of in Gahanna, New Albany area.
Still there.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call that authentic Thai, but it's very good food.
Yeah. Where was the place that we went that was out on Hamilton Road?
That was Chai Thai, I believe.
Way out on Hamilton Road.
Well, I drove forever.
That was it. Yeah.
Oh, no, you're talking about the folks.
You mean Indochine. That's Vietnamese. They do have several Thai dishes. That's an excellent restaurant as well. That's on South Hamilton between Broad and Main Street.
What was the name of that again?
Indochine.
Indochine.
Okay, wonderful. Thanks so much.
Certainly.
Thank you very much for your call this morning. This is All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're here with Rich Terapak and his son, Rich, who do restaurant reviews here at WOSU, along with Steve Stover. There is a lot of activity on the restaurant scene in Bexley. What's going on out there?
Well, we've got the new place from Kent Rigsby opening up soon, Zoe, named after, I believe, another daughter of his. Mm-hmm. It's going into the old WG Grinders space right across from the Bexley Public Library. I don't have a firm opening date on it yet.
They're working hard on it.
It's always the spring, and then it's summer. But I'm sure it's going to be a real neat place because they've been doing construction on it for quite some time now. So looking forward to that.
They do quality things.
Kent grumbles when you mention it, and Tazi is all excited. Yeah, so it's one of those things. And I think it's going to be more like Tazi than Rigsby's.
And then we've got that the new crepe place we mentioned a month or two ago on Main Street as well, across from Capital University.
And Istanbul is relatively new. It's been there about a year and a half.
So, Cafe Istanbul? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Main Street in Bexley's almost become a dining destination.
It's got
certainly
Giuseppe's.
Wasn't when I was growing up.
What's the place? Oh, that's the crepe place right by the theater.
By the theater, yep. And you've still got Giuseppe's, and you've got the Cherbourg Bakery right around the corner on Drexel.
Gluten-free bakery. Yeah.
And you just did a review, Rich, on Bear Burger. What's going on there?
Bear Burger is, it was one of those situations that Catherine was talking about earlier, that folks come to town not expecting to find anything that's very good in the food scene. And there were some guys from Ohio State, one of whom grew up in New York City, three of them moved back to New York and fell in love with a place called Bear Burger. And if you pull it up on their website, you'll find they've got 17 locations all within spitting distance of Manhattan. But they brought the owner back to Columbus because they were moving back here. And he had not allowed anyone to open another Bear Burger anywhere. And he came here and was really wowed by the restaurant scene, particularly on North High. It's where the old Yankee Trader used to be.
Oh, okay.
It's very authentic as far as you know what they're trying to do. It's in the sense of local stuff. They've got interesting burgers. They've got bison burgers. They've got wild boar burgers. They've got lamb burgers. It's an extensive menu.
Anything but bear burgers.
Anything but bear burgers. It's B-A-R-E.
No, it's B-A-R-E. No, I know.
But they have a lot of other things besides bear burgers, and their apps are, I think, are really what you want to try for. We did the hot panko pickle chips. That's almost as bad as Rishi Sushi. Still can't say it. As an appetizer, those were terrific. Then they had sort of sweet potato croquettes that were also really very nice. They do a great milkshake. They've also done it, done the interior well with old barnwood, et cetera. So I was there on a Tuesday, got there at about 12:20 for lunch, and I had to wait 20 minutes because it's so popular and it's not a small place.
But they do get a lot of street traffic in that area. It's not like other places where you have to drive.
Right. Yankee Trader is between Spruce and Vine on North High Street.
292-8513 and...
Breaking news.
We got an email, and we can't speak to the validity, but Caroline wrote us that she heard the new Katzinger's in the North Market opens today.
Ah, so today.
Well, that would be very exciting.
And we also got an email from some attentive listener that said that the vegetarian restaurant, Indian restaurant at Kenny and Old Henderson is Dosa Corner, which I remember. And one thing, the blog is www.wosu.org/chefs in the city, and they're like, can I plug six new blogs that are up there?
Yes.
There's the La Tavola blog, Rich's Bear Burger blog, Jerry's Galaxy Cafe out in Hilliards, Hudson 29 from the Cameron Mitchell Group, Rishi Sushi will be up soon, Harvest Bar and Kitchen in the old Mozart's location in Clintonville, and Cork Wine and Dine out in Gahanna. So there's lots of new stuff up there.
Lots of restaurants opened in the last year. It's amazing. I guess maybe the economy is getting better.
Well, we're going to take a call now from Cindy. Good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to mention that as far as authentic dim sum, I've grown up in Manhattan, frequented San Francisco, Toronto, Boston, New York. The most authentic that I've seen is over actually at Sunflower.
Good
call. Yeah, thank you.
You know, it's the traditional buy the cart, goes through, you can see everything. I used to go to Fortune, but that's traditionally, I think, just an order off the menu kind of a format.
Yes, it is.
Great call. I can't believe we missed that.
Great call.
I know. I couldn't believe you didn't mention it.
Well, we're getting up there in years, you know.
Well, plus our listeners have been terrific this morning in getting everybody on track and coming up with the right answers. Thank you for being one of them.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. 292-8513. We're talking about food and restaurants here in Central Ohio. And just to recap, we started off the show talking with Catherine Moore and Kevin Caskey of Skillet about a premier food event going on. It's May 15th, A Taste of Dine Originals at the Capital University.
It's on Pleasant Ridge in Bexley. It's just south of Main Street. There's ample parking. There's also free valet parking. They have how many vendors? There are 48 different restaurants.
48 restaurants and 30 wineries.
And the distilleries,
it's,
of course.
You know, the tickets are $100, but it's the best $100 you've ever spent.
It really is.
And it goes on for 3 hours, so you can consume to your heart's content.
I mean, we need a driver to get up backed up for Arlington, you know?
Well, they have valet service.
Well, and you've got equidistant. You've got a couple places you could stay.
That's true.
And Chef Hanke was back in town at Refectory recently.
Hardly ever. He lives here, but he's never here. He's
as
travels
a chef,
all the time.
As a chef.
It was at the Refectory. It was a wine dinner featuring the wines from Triumph Cellars, and the owner of Triumph Cellars, Roger Lauer, who's from Circleville, is a great friend of Chef Hanke. And so they got together with Chef Hanke, Chef Richard Blondin of the Refectory, and Roger Lauer, and had a pretty fabulous dinner. I'm not going to go into all the details, although I'd like to, but it featured duck consomme with foie gras and duck confit, fresh morels on a pasta with Madeira cream sauce, Hanke's famous braised veal cheeks, two, three,
And Rogers Vineyard is not in Circleville. It's in Napa.
No, it's in Napa. It's in St. Helena, and they just got a Wine Enthusiast 93 on the wine that I buy. It was 6 courses, 7 wines. $85. So they have a lot of those events.
We just have a few seconds left, and I know that you've got an event coming up at Franklin Park Conservatory.
Yeah, we've got a cooking class on May 20th. There's also an event called Tasting on the Terrace that is a benefit for the conservatory, and a bunch of stuff going on out there. It's a great location.
Thank you all very much. I'm Marilyn Smith. This is All Sides Weekend, Chefs in the City. We've been talking with Rich Tarapak, his son Rich, and Steve Stover, all of whom are writing blogs for our website, WOSU/Chefs in the City. We'll be back, I think, at the end of May with another show.